Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, did the spirit of a deceased couple continue to haunt their home long after they were gone?
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. We would love to hear them. You can write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you want to support the show, get access to all of our bonus episodes, jam-packed with some of the best ghost stories that we ever get, sign up to be an extra podcast person, an EPP, that's what we call them, at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. And by the time this airs, if you go back to EPP episode number, what are we on? 358 is when I'm recording this. I just recorded an episode the show, and it probably has, I would say, one of my top 10 favorite ghost stories we've ever done in it. And it's, incidentally, it takes place like about 7 miles from the studio. And they had no idea, I think, when they wrote it, but it's on the campus here in Fayetteville. And it is totally, totally creepy. It's about someone who got hit by a vehicle and them seeing this person, following them in halls. And it's, you got to check it out. So anyway, that's EPP 358. If you want to go back in the archive a few weeks, you'll get that again at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Tony and Todd with you on today's episode of the show.
That sounds really good. Now I got to go back and listen.
It's good. Yeah. I mean, it's one of those where they're mentioning like street names and all these things, and I can totally picture where these things happen, and I'm just totally playing it through my mind. It is, it's good and very, very well written. It's one of those like 18-minute long stories that just holds your attention. It's right up there. All the stories we get, it's rare that I can say that falls in the top 10, but that one came on the countdown this week at number 8. So, yeah.
Debuting. I was just going to say, do you have a top 10 countdown?
I should. I mean, I don't even know. Like, I have some ideas on what would be on it. I could probably give you like 3, but this would certainly be in there because it's good. It's, yeah.
This one's down 2 this week to number 6. It's Ghost in the Graveyard.
On American Top 40. Yeah, it's totally worth it.
I spent a weekend out camping.
Okay.
And had a great time, but I have not been camping in a number of years.
Tent camping?
So I booked some time for myself and my sisters this past weekend, and we went out camping, but it was at a campground we've never been to.
Okay.
So a few weeks ago, I drove out there to see what it was like, and I got out there, and I'm like, oh, God, I'm going to have to bring the banjos along. I just know it. So at any rate, we go, and it ends up being this really lovely campground, but there is a... you know, I was in a cabin, and then across the way from us is somebody who parks their camper there all year long, and they're there pretty much all year long.
Yeah.
And they would just sit out on their porch and watch us, everything we did. So I created the characters of, look at them weirdos over there, Elvira. It was Bill and Elvira.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a running commentary the entire weekend, and all I could think of was you and how much fun that would be to put together somewhere down the road. So we'd get done with our burger, and then we'd hop on the old golf cart there, and we'd go down to the store and buy some Whistler sweets or something like that. I mean, it was just weird, and all they would do is sit there and watch us. We were their entertainment for the weekend. So we did some pretty funny stuff.
God, did they ever react to anything that you did to when you were trying to screw with it?
I think at one point he was out seeding his lawn, which gave me plenty of material to work with. You see, you twist this thing over here and that little spray comes out of the seeds. See how that works? Doing that over there. And he would look at me. And I think he was trying to figure out if I was talking about him or not. So I'd lay low for a couple seconds and then I'd go back into it. But
oh, wow. That brings back memories.
a lot of drinking this week, and it was good.
Yeah, you would do a very similar thing with the first radio station that I worked at with you. We called it the fish tank because we were in the studio downtown in a big window out to the streets. And for a while there, we had speakers that we could turn on and talk to the people outside the window. And this is the first time I've thought of this in years. And we would be in there and you would be screwing with the people that were like walking down the road and like whispering things and just kind of like making weird sounds. And they're like looking around like, what the hell is that?
You put me in a situation like that and somebody's watching me, I'm going to have fun with the situation. So Elvira was definitely eyeing me up. She wanted me. She was clacking her teeth at me and all that kind of stuff. So it was a good weekend.
That's great. You should have taken some video of it. That would have been even more fun to put online.
Elvira, you don't want that city slicker over there. Look at him. He's not your type.
The fact that they're seeding their lawn on a campground is...
He was out there seeding his lawn.
That's a concept in itself.
God. Good stuff.
Wow. Well, that's great. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. There was always a guy that stood by the Pepsi machine across the street that you would fuck with.
I remember there was this old guy early in the morning and he'd walk by and just kind of give us this like really disapproving look every morning. And then we started waving at him and then his attitude totally changed. He'd wave at us. But I think we still called him Earl or something. You know, he gives everybody a name like that. And it's howdy, Earl. How's it going today, Earl? Kind of thing. And he'd wave at us and everything was great. But the first couple of weeks, it was a very disapproving look.
Like, how dare you be here?
How dare you be running that devil music so early in the morning? That's what's wrong with America.
I'm going to drive my car into the studio. Oh, wait, somebody did that once.
That's right. Yes, and I was there for that, too.
God. Oh, good times. 855-853-4802, our number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go to our first story of the day. It says, hi, everyone. I just discovered these amazing podcasts and I'm now totally addicted because I love anything and everything to do with the paranormal. I was part of a Southern California paranormal research team for 3 years, but the stories that I'm sharing with you today are from my own personal life and that of my lifelong best friend who passed away in 2011. Both stories took place in the late 1990s. So I will start with my friend's story. For the sake of privacy here, I'll call her Layla. In the late 90s, I was living in Virginia and working in Washington, D.C., and Layla was living in Wyoming and working for a popular museum and historical center. As part of her salary, she was allowed to live rent-free in a small room in the basement of a large ranch-style home that had been owned by the founder of the museum and is used as a sort of hotel for celebrities and VIP guests that come to town for various museum functions. The mansion had its own housekeeping and gardening staff that would come a few times a week, but Layla mostly had the place to herself. Her only responsibilities were to set up coffee and put out a continental breakfast on the mornings that guests were present. She also was on hand to answer questions and to act as sort of a live-in security person. Now, when she first moved in, Layla had been warned that the museum founders and former owners of the house, a married couple, had died back in the 1970s, but the man was still around haunting the place. She was told that he was friendly and just liked to get up to mischief and play pranks occasionally. When she told me this was a fascination with her and told her that I thought she was lucky as hell, in typical Layla style, she acted very nonchalant about it all. Soon enough, though, I started to hear stories. For example, she loved to crochet, and when there were not any guests in the house, she'd go up to the main floor, sit in the living room sofa that faced a large picture window. One night, she was crocheting away when she heard a couple of notes play on the grand piano behind her. Startled, she looked up and saw the man's ghost casually stroll away from the piano behind her and disappear. He looked right at her in the window with a big shit-eating grin on his face. She froze to the spot, freaking out, but then thought that it was kind of funny. Later that same week, she got up in the middle of the night to use a bathroom located within her private suite downstairs, and to her horror and surprise, the toilet seat was up, and she fell in with a huge splash. Keep in mind that she had exclusive use of this suite, cleaned it herself, and she was not dating anyone, so she instantly realized it had to have been the ghost. She yelled out, "Real funny, Peter!" A couple nights after that, she was lying in bed watching TV, about to doze off when she heard the toilet seat go up, and she yelled, "Cut that shit out, Pete, and put it down!" She then heard the seat plunk down. He would do little things like that to her all the time, which made her time living there much more interesting. So now for my story, and I hope it does not make this too long. The story has to do with an alien, and it took place in 1997. At that time, I rarely thought about aliens. I did believe that they existed because I had friends that lived in Delaware and New York who had some wild experiences. I remember wishing that I would see something like that, but did not dwell on it. Like I mentioned above, I was living in Alexandria, Virginia, and working on Capitol Hill just about a block away from the Marine Barracks. I was working for an exceedingly small private firm and commuted to and from my office on the D.C. subway, the Metro, every day at lunch and would walk about four blocks up the street to eat either at a deli by the Metro station or a coffee shop by the Library of Congress. So one afternoon, I was on my way back from lunch and saw that there was a sale at the Payless shoe store. So I stopped to see what they had on display in the window. It was a beautiful sunny day in late winter, early spring, but there was no snow, just chilly. As I was admiring the shoes, I noticed, reflected in the window, there was a cute little old African-American woman standing a few feet behind me. She was wearing a longish tan wool coat with matching beret and was carrying a black old-fashioned lady's handbag. She just kind of standing there, staring at me. I thought she was waiting for me to get out of the way so she could look at the shoes. However, when I stepped aside to make room for her, she just stood there staring. I'm still looking at a reflection in the window. Not weird. So I remembered the time that I turned around. I was facing her. It was at that moment. I saw it in an instant. She turned into what I believe looked kind of like some sort of other creature. Other colored skin. Standing there. The feet had two large yellow claws, as did the hands clutching the handbag. It tilted its head, and I remember its large yellow-orange reptilian eyes. I took all of this in for a split second because when I blinked, it was the lady again. She gave me a little smile that was creepy as fuck, and with a look that said, "Oh, you saw that, didn't you?" I bolted, ran like hell, all the way back to the office. I was terrified. I was not in shape at all, but I ran all the way back. When I came flying into my front door, my coworkers were asking what was wrong with me and told me that I was white as a sheet. I did not tell anyone for fear of looking like a psycho. However, I know what I saw that day, and it was not human. I had large windows in my office and could not concentrate or work for the rest of the day. I kept looking outside, afraid that I would see that little lady again. I was also afraid to walk back to the Metro to go home because I would have to pass the shoe store again. I was traumatized for weeks after the incident, and it was only then that I learned that there are supposedly some sort of reptilian race of aliens that are already here. I no longer wish to see ships, aliens, or anything like that. I'm good. Thank you for letting me share these stories. I hope the listeners will enjoy them. Stay safe and be well out there. The Lizard Lady by the Payless.
Well, I mean, we've kind of discussed this before a little bit, and it's hard for me. You listen to the way this person articulates their stories. Mm-hmm. Very well written, very in depth, very, you know, detail oriented. Yep. So it's not coming across as somebody who's nuts. Okay?
No, I mean, the whole thing came across as like very normal.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And quite honestly, I was kind of surprised to hear it go in the direction that it did.
Me too.
But there's so many stories out there of people who have experienced very, very, very similar things where an individual is caught transforming into what they actually are for a brief second, and then they come out of it and whatever. I'll tell you what, to this day, I don't think if I was this individual, I could sleep at night knowing that something out there knew that I had seen what it truly was. That is freaky.
And that's it. If you kind of dissect the idea of this, is it that they transformed, or is it that there's something going on here and we're just always, we're seeing kind of this cloaked version of of this individual, if this is what that is, a lizard type person, or right. what's doing the transforming here? Are we like getting a glimpse into some other dimension or some other, you know, frequency, or are they literally making some sort of transformation if that sort of thing happens? Because you're right, there's a lot of people who have experiences very similar to this, and it's freaky and bizarre, and I do not know what to make of it. Honestly, I don't. I know there's a lot of people. This is not like a one and done story, though. There's a lot of people with things like this.
Yeah, and it does kind of frighten me, because again, it's that element of we just don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I've said a lot that, you know, going out on investigations and your ghost hunting and all that, you kind of know what you're dealing with. You're not 100% sure, but in a situation like this, that is something that I've never experienced before. I don't even know what my reaction would be if I experienced that. I think I'd lose my mind. I'd be done.
I don't know how. I mean, I would rather see a ghost. I would much rather see something that disappeared in front of me and that was it. The whole idea of, and then there's still a person and they're just standing there with their bag and they're going to go and get that, you know, BOGO deal on shoes. And it's like, wait a second. And there they are. They just walk out of the store. They're going back to their house. They got friends. They got family. But what the hell did I just see?
Only thing I question is, listen, if they're aliens, are they really shopping at Payless? Or are they going to, they probably have a lot of money. They're going to go to the bigger stores with nicer shoes.
But why would the aliens have money? I mean, if they're coming here, they may, I don't know. I mean, I would think everyone's out for a good deal. Do you ever think we'd have a conversation about aliens shopping at Payless?
Well, I mean, think about this. Well, with you, possibly. I mean, that is always a possibility of coming up. I just think if you're that smart, if you can transform in that way, shape, or form, you're not buying bargain basement shoes that give you blisters every time you slip them on. You're probably going for the good stuff.
You'd expect to see more at like a DSW or something than the Payless.
Correct. Exactly. Okay. Where there's more of a variety. Actually,
yes, I agree. Aliens would more likely shop at the DSW. 855-853-4802 is our number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Hi, let's hear your story.
Hi. I've called before in regards to my daughter and some of her abilities. After speaking to my mother, I'm wondering if it's not a generational thing. I know I've heard that a lot, being passed down generation to generation. But we started thinking about all the things that has happened recently. We've had a lot of people that have passed over recently in our family. And I have the last two and a half years. Four of them, I have been there, but the one that pops out in my mind and that I struggle with the most and have anxiety and depression on, you know, guilt, my father, who had to have heart surgery 10 plus years ago, just because his heart was made differently, but he was in good health after that. Then the heart surgery, he had ended up having a stroke, so he was wheelchair bound. So other than that, he was in pretty good health. He kept up with his sugar, all that sort of thing. I mean, he checked his blood pressure regularly with the help of my mother. She dedicated her life taking care of him, as he had always dedicated his life taking care of her. They were like the true love story. But we had a couple people pass in our community that were close friends, and in my family we joke and to deal with things. That's how we deal with things. And all these men would wear, my father was a farmer, so all these men that had passed recently were really laid back, good men who always wore overhauls. And so we were sitting there, and for some reason, I just felt the need to tell my father, you know, if God is coming after larger men, because my dad was a big, tall, big, broad man, I said, if the Lord is coming after big men in overalls, you better watch out, because you're going to be next. And we laughed, he laughed, you know, it was, and I was like, no, seriously, you'll be next. not even a week later, he had passed. I think about that often. And then I think about the dream. My mother had had a dream, and after I had said that to her, we walked out on the porch, and she's like, I had a dream. And I said, okay. And she said, it's kind of stuck with me, and you saying that kind of triggered and made me remember the vast majority. And I said, okay, what was the dream about? And she said, I dreamed your grandmother, which had passed. She always drove Cadillac. She pulled up to the back of my mother's house, and she said all these women started getting out of the trunk of the car, and she said they were just gorgeous, beautiful women, and they started getting out of the back of the car, and my aunt came out, and she was just crying. She was crying, 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 and my mother couldn't figure out the dream while she was crying, so she was like, she thought that maybe my aunt was having a sleepover. So she's like, you know, they'll be back. They'll come back. Your mother will bring them. Because she's still dreaming. And she said the women got back in the car. And one of them had said, okay, we figured out what we came for. And she went to my grandmother and was like, you know, what's going on? What's going on? And she's like, Terry, we have to go. And my mother's like, what? She's like, we have to go. I'm sorry, I'm going to have to go. And we're going to have to go. And not even, like I said, a week later, my father passed in the front yard. I tried to resuscitate him without success. And there's a lot of other little things that had happened dream-wise or visions. And my mother really didn't tell me this until I started telling her about my daughter, because I was very hesitant to tell her about my daughter. There's just a lot. And I'm wondering if it's something that we've tapped into since the death of my brother, which occurred 6 months prior to my father, or if it's been there all along and we've just kind of ignored it. With my daughter, I think it's always been there because she would see the gray people. I know I've talked to you about that. I've called in and talked about that before. She would see the gray people, and she would describe them as being able to run so fast they would disappear, or they could hop into trees or disappear into the ground. Continue doing what you're doing. I love your show. It's a great outlet. If this makes it on air or not, that's okay. Just being able to verbalize it, even on the phone, it means a lot. So you guys take care. I appreciate everything that you do, and have a blessed day. Thank you.
Thanks for calling in and sharing that experience with us. Thoughts?
You know, I hope this individual doesn't hold any regrets for making the joke and having a laugh before her father passed away. There was no ill intention there. And intention is so important when you're talking about things like this. Mm-hmm. There was nothing derogatory there. She wasn't trying to be mean. It was laughter. So I think that if she has any ill feelings about it or bad feelings about it, I hope that she's able to wash that away and just understand that it was humor. And I believe her father appreciated that bit of humor, and you know, we'll take that laughter with him beyond. I've heard stories about like abilities skipping generations and all that, but I've also heard it where it doesn't skip generations. So I don't think it's one way or another. Mm-hmm. And I'd be very surprised if her daughter has abilities. I'd be very surprised if she and her mother don't have some sort of abilities as well. We keep that stuff locked up. We spend our lives thinking that that bump or that vision or that dream means nothing. And sometimes it takes something big to kind of open up that door a little bit. I'll say a personal thing here. My sister, who is older than me, mm-hmm. Is just coming to realize her abilities in some of those areas. And her entire life, she didn't want to have anything to do with it. She didn't understand it. And now, because of some recent things that have happened in her life, she's finally coming to plug into that, understand it a little bit better and be okay with it. So I think you can learn very late in life that you've got abilities that you've hidden away for a long time.
It's one of those things where I think, you know, you can hide from it, but if it's there, it's always going to be there, you know?
Yep.
And you can pretend it's not, but at some point you almost have to recognize it in most cases. And once you can get comfortable with it and kind of make peace with it, I think it's probably a lot easier to deal with than necessarily, you know, running from it your whole life. But it's understandable why someone would, because it's a weird, scary, it opens up so many questions beyond just that one incident or that one concept. If you open that door, it's like, I kind of got to run everything now again through this kind of new prism of how I've been looking at things.
Well, because we go to school and we learn from, you know, kindergarten through 12th grade and then beyond in college, this is the way the world works.
Yeah.
And even if you're religious, in your religion, this is the way the world works.
Sure.
And so to open your mind up that there's other possibilities, that there's other things out there, it's a whole new thing. It's almost like it'd be great if there was a Hogwarts for this kind of stuff. So for people who felt like they needed more information about these areas of understanding, they could actually go and be taught some of this stuff. A lot of people learn about their abilities and learn how to use them or hide them on their own. It can be a very tough journey.
Yeah, I agree. Thanks for sharing that story. 855-853-4802, our number. Hi.
Hey, how's it going? Good morning. I have a quick story. I love you guys' show. It's kind of weird. I never do this, but anyway, so I used to work at a 99-cent store in San Diego when I was about 18, so I'm 26 now. So at the time, you know, I used to do the night shift, so from 7:30 at night to 7:30 in the morning, and I used to stock cans or whatever they had me stock at the time. So there was a whole bunch of girls, and I was the only guy. So, you know, all the girls would always tell me stories of, like, how the store was haunted and whatever. And I didn't believe it. You know, I was kind of like, oh, okay, whatever. It's no big deal. And so one time I went to the restroom around, like, 2:30 in the morning. I know it sounds cliche because it's 2:30 in the morning, but I went to the restroom and I went to go wash my hands. And the way the door was, it kind of, like, slammed shut. So you had to, like, put your foot there to stop it in order for it to not slam it shut. And so I had my foot there. And I went to go throw the toiletries, you know, into the trash. And I, when I turned around, there was a little boy, and he looked at me and said, "Hey," and waved at me and then went back in the back of the door. And I was thinking to myself, did I just see that? What the heck? So at this time, I'm kind of like flabbergasted. I'm not too sure what to do, you know, so I go back to the lady that I was working with at the time, and I said, "Hey, ma'am, I don't know if you know this, but you know, I just saw a little boy in the restroom with me." And she had a couple of, like, products in her hands, and she dropped them. And she was like, "Oh, Idol Smeal, you saw him too?" And I was like, "Oh, dang." So now this lady's telling me stories about, oh, this little boy died, and how whatever, whatever. So now it hits 7:30 in the morning. Nothing happens throughout the night, just that incident. So 7:30 happens. And there's this lady that comes in, and she lives in TJ. So TJ is like probably like 30 minutes from where I worked in San Diego. And she came up to me when I was in the break room randomly and said, "Hey, Joelle, did you talk to my son this morning?" And I had this like shock, like what? Like, who told you I saw this little boy? And then she kind of gave me that look like, who else? You know, because she just got there. And it was kind of crazy because at first I've never seen a ghost like that before. And to see one, and then the ladies confirmed it. And then this lady came in and said that, oh, her ghostly son pretty much told her that he saw me in the restroom and told her as soon as she got there. So I know it's, but so that was pretty crazy. To be honest, I quit. Like, that was 2 weeks after that, and I was, yeah, I'm done. You know, I started seeing that little boy more and more, and that was it for me. But yeah, that's my story. Sorry, I'm horrible at explaining myself, but thank you very much.
Thanks for sharing. My thought at the end was like, well, how long did he stay working there? And he answered it right as I was thinking it. How long would you stay working there?
Well, I mean, for me, it's kind of interesting. Like, what a mind-blowing story. First of all, this dude seems really cool. Mm-hmm. And the fact that he's kind of laughing about himself and all that stuff is really kind of funny. But before we got to the end of the story, I'm thinking, why is there a little boy in a 99-cent store? Mm-hmm. That just, you know, it doesn't make sense to me. Again, you know, why not go to a better version of a store someplace, sure, or whatever? But then you hear the ending of the story, and it's this woman's son.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I don't think I would run from that. I think I would embrace it a little bit.
Yeah.
His energy, that little boy's energy was obviously there and maybe made a friend with this guy. I'm not sure, but that's actually a really, really cool story. It's kind of sad that he quit after 2 weeks. I'd love to hear more about what happened.
It'd be interesting to hear. Yeah. I mean, how that all plays out and other people there that experience that. I think if I were the mom, it would be really hard to ever leave your job there, especially if that's the only place you're really seeing him at. And I don't know if that's the only place that she is, but you know, if that's where mom works and you know, when he was alive, I can imagine, I mean, a 99-cent store is a great place when you're a kid. It's like, you can afford anything in the store. It's an amazing concept. I remember like wandering around everything's a dollar in our hometown when I was a kid, and like, oh, this is just wonderful. And then if mom works there, it's understandable why he would be there. But yeah, it would be neat to know more of that. It's one of those places where you get those unsuspecting stories, like a haunted CVS or something like that, you know?
It's like, yeah, everybody keep an eye on that kid, Tony. He just walked in. He's got sticky fingers. Okay, thanks.
There's just so many things you can do in a 99-cent store. And yeah.
What's he touching now? Nobody wants to know.
God. Yeah. Oh, good old everything's a dollar. I'm just amazed that dollar stores even do still exist with inflation and such. Although there's Dollar Tree. That's still a $1 store. But but several of them are like, you know, $1, $2, $3, $4, $5, whatever. I just always loved that going there. I remember I bought it wasn't Big League Chew, but it was like some other like off brand. And I got it at the dollar store as a kid. And then I broke a tooth on it because it was so hard. Like, okay, don't buy dollar store gum anymore. That was my new rule. And I don't think I've ever bought it since. So, good times. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. That's going to wrap up our show for today. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person. An EPP, sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Get access to all the bonus episodes, advanced episodes, the archive, ebook, audiobook. It's all there. Ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Until next time, for Todd, Tony, thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.